My name is Joan Conrad. I am a prison chaplain from Minneapolis. And we are having the third session of a little series. The first one we had the day before yesterday was named Who Does God Say You Are? And we were dealing with the sometimes traumatic difference between who people say we are and who God says. And we found that this can often be very disruptive because God gives us talents, and those who are in charge of us try to destroy it. Because if you're a little girl, for instance, you don't climb trees, you don't whistle. Girls don't whistle. That's when I grew up. And you don't play wild games, and there's so many things which you don't do. For instance, you come into the kitchen and you do the dishes. You dry them at least, and you don't fool around in that mud, or the little girls don't get their hands, much less their dresses muddy. And you know full well that that mud out there is just right after the rain to make that nice little frog that now you have learned to make. It really looked like a frog. Or something else. You had to make some pies for your dolls, and you have to sit with your hands. You don't do that. That's not for little girls. Little girls have got many restrictions. And so have little boys. Little boys don't play with dolls, as everybody knows. And I think that's dead wrong. We came up with some of those things that boys don't do, or that you outgrew after a certain age when it became silly or childish or sissy or whatever. I, to this day, wonder why little boys are not supposed to play with dolls, because after all, most of the time, little boys grow up to be men and they get married. Now, wouldn't a little boy make a much better prospective father if he would have been allowed to play with dolls? After all, dolls are kind of, imaginary babies, right? Of course, they don't cry and get injured if you accidentally drop them. And they don't hug you, and they don't cry unless you've got the automated model, and you pull a string and it does cry. Also, I think a little boy might become a better physician if he were allowed to play with dogs, because you get a lot of little children, and if you're familiar with dolls, you have an easier time with little babies. And other things, we were talking about the marbles and how we outgrow playing with marbles, and came to the statement that we better not lose all our marbles because the skill of marble playing could lead to real efficiency, proficiency, whatever, efficiency, in being a good pool player, because it develops a skill. And I'm quite sure pool playing, if somebody could think fast enough, probably relates to another skill that could come in handy. Moreover, does it always have to come in handy for something practical? God is creator, and he has given us talents to be creative. And with all the restrictions we suffer from childhood on, and then through school. And somebody said yesterday that there was much discouragement from taking home ec and taking artistic classes, because when you go into that specific field, you don't have time for it. And we came to the conclusion, oh yeah, is that truly so? There are many ways in which some of these classes come in very handy. And if they don't, so what? I think you contributed yesterday when we were asking the question following who God says we are with what are you doing about it? How you had to drop your model making, because that too was little boy stuff. And how it helped you so much when you were a grown man. And what it did, it was relaxing, it was enjoyable, it was giving you the feeling of competency, and so many things. And it can be inspiring for other people too, if they too had been discouraged, and hey, yeah, let's try that again. And God, who rested on the seventh day, should be kind of a role model in an age where we are told that you don't lead a meaningful life with all sorts of times off or whatever, but you vegetate at jet speed and make the almighty dollar. That's idolatry. Nowhere does the Bible say that this is supposed to be our lifestyle. Can you tell me where it says so? No. So what is causing us to lead a life that is not only diminishing our creative abilities, but also diminishes our humanity? I mean, if you have to run to the coffee urn every 10 minutes, something must be wrong, if that's what you need to stay awake. So we found a few outlets for that, which people had told us we shouldn't do, we couldn't do, it was detrimental to whatever. They had shared that my mother was discouraging me from storytelling. I was talking to my teddy bear because I was lonely, and I had my teddy bear talking back to me. And you could tell by the voice who was doing the speaking. And my teddy bear didn't always agree with me either. So it was neat. And I had to stop it because my mother thought, what should people think if they hear you? I couldn't have cared less. And fortunately, I had enough stubbornness in me when my own children were of the age that we were reading stories and had read our way clear across and through Grimm's fairy tales, Andersen's fairy tales, Bechstein's fairy tales, Hauff's fairy tales, and Jensen's storybook, that I began to make up my own fairy tales, and they loved it. We all always had a fairy tale or a legend and a Bible story, and then I'd sit at the piano and play something harmless, because there too I wasn't good enough to do anything really big. So I got discouraged. I just had enough left in me to play something nice like the C prelude by Bach and something by Beethoven, who's my most favorite. That's not too demanding. I still wonder what God really meant for me to do with my musical talent besides singing, which I still love to do. But all of these things, like storytelling and being a good listener in a home for the aged, or being a good patient listener and instructor for little children in a nursery, and being a volunteer. I think this society really underappreciates volunteers. I don't know how many times I've heard that, oh, I'm only a volunteer. Said, only? Praise God for volunteers. What would we ever do without them? We'd be stuck on the first level instead of going on. And we went into some of those things which we discover maybe just for the first time here. Something we may have had an inkling 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, or just discover brand new. And, oh well, we do that here. Maybe not. Maybe God is pointing out to us, hey, I've given you something. Are you going to make use of it now? And just develop your talent for my sake. I'll show you later on where that will fit in, either for yourself, just between you and me, or in a setting for other people. Well, to make a possibly long story short, when we compare notes of who God says who we are, and who people have been saying who we are or who we are not, we come that it's been to the conclusion that it's been very traumatic, that we have suffered a whole lot, and that sometimes, like in my case, I just wandered straight into sin because my mother would never believe the truth, and I became a real expert liar. That is a sin. And I had to forever afterwards own this pain, this detriment to many friendships where I, because I was lying, built walls between myself and people whom I could have been so close to and against whom I had to build that wall just because my mother taught me to build walls. Because the truth was not acceptable. And it took forever to get rid of this. And I'm sure that in many of us there are pains which have remained from something that people have done to us and we have let them do it. And we were just simply helpless against it and didn't take it to God and discuss with God how he felt about it. And since God made us in our image, I think we really need to learn to discuss such things with God. He'll give us the right answer. But what I want us to do is to go onto two journeys. They're going to be long journeys. They go far back into great depth. What I want you to do is get very comfortable. And you can't be comfortable if you sit like this. Do whatever you must do. Put your feet somewhere where it's really comfortable. Or it's perfectly okay if you find a spot. Get on the floor if that's more comfortable. Do whatever, but don't sit straight. It'll be detrimental to what we are going to do. Has anybody ever been through a session of imaging? You know what the word imaging means? And it's very, very wholesome, isn't it? So, we are going to go on a journey, and don't be afraid. God is going to be right there. He's right with us all the time. But we need to get something out that has been painful, that's been negative, that's been sinful. We also have to get something out that is beautiful and a talent, a gift, and a joy, and whatever. What I want you to do is please just get really comfortable and just breathe normally. Don't fall asleep, but breathe as you would when you're really relaxed, and close your eyes and just let your imagination wander. Are you ready? We are sitting here in Koinonia, and there is one of those nice hand-woven Persian rugs. You know about the story of the flying carpet. You get on your rug, just sit right in the middle of it, you won't fall off. And the rug lifts, and you're moving toward the window, and the window opens, and you go out on your rug, and you rise up, you see the trees at eye level, and now you're above them, and the mountains become smaller, you're raised up, your carpet is flying above the mountains, the air is pleasantly cool, the sun is shining, and your carpet carries you to your home, the home of your childhood. And your rug is gently coming down, 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 and you get into the house, and your rug just gently moves you toward a door. It is a door that opens into a basement and into a cellar. It's a heavy door. You open it. It swings open wide. And you're looking down at a winding staircase. And the air smells like a basement that has not been aired for a long time. Hold on to the banister. It's to your left. No, not to your right. It's to your left. You take step after step. You go down. Now you're on the first level. Now you have to get through the trap door. Lift it up. It'll stay open. It won't close. Get down. The staircase is getting narrow and it's getting dark. You cannot see anymore where you're going. And the air is getting sticky. And as you open your eyes to the surroundings, there is mud. There's something that is threatening. It's sticky. But you don't step into it. You stay on that one rung of the ladder which you've now stepped on. You don't step any further. And as you look into the muddy, mucky, dark, sticky stuff, you're beginning to see all your pain, all your disappointment, your sin, your suffering, all your wrongdoing. Look at it. It takes on color. See the color of all of this. It takes on shapes. And the shapes are painful. Now reach for it. It comes loose. You can take it. Take it into your hands. And now just press it. Press it against your chest. Press it hard. You can feel the hurt and the pain. Own it. Own the pain. Own the hurt. Now you can loosen it a bit, but don't lose it. Carry it carefully. Hold on. And step by step, climb back up. It's hard to get up. Now you get through the trapdoor. And now you're stepping on the upper steps. The air is getting a bit better and it's getting lighter. You're beginning to see the daylight of the ground level, but your burden is getting heavier. It's getting very, very heavy. You see your rug. Sit down on it and take that heavy, heavy burden. It's so painful. Take it on your lap. Sit comfortably on that rug. Take a deep breath. The rug is lifting off. Can you feel it? It's lifting off through the room, out the window, back into open country, higher, higher, and everything that you've seen down there in the landscape disappears. You're surrounded by bright sky. There are white clouds right around you. You're sailing above the clouds now. And the light gets brighter and brighter. the sun gets very, very pleasantly warm. You feel the sunshine. And now you enter into a brightness which is almost painful. You feel the brightness, it almost hurts. And now you are in the presence of God. Take your hard, heavy, painful, sinful, big bundle. Press it once again against your chest and own it and feel the hurt. And now you carefully reach out, take your hands in front of you, and there's God. He has his hands stretched out. You cannot see his hands, but you know they are there. Now you drop all that you're holding into his hands. And you raise your hands up with the back of your hands toward yourself and the palms toward the bundle and toward God. Now thank him. You're free. Thank him for your freedom. You're on your rug, and your rug is carrying you gently, gently out of this great brightness. You're above the clouds. Now you're in the clouds. They're white and beautiful. And now you're coming back into a landscape that looks familiar. And you recognize that you know where you are. And you are back in the place where you were a child. And your rug sets you down. There's another door. You never knew it was there. And again, as you open this door, there is a staircase. It's a winding staircase. And you go down, step after step. As you go down, the air gets better and things become lighter. That room into which you're coming now is bright. You can see that trapdoor. Open it. Open that trapdoor. Put it wide open. It won't shut while you're going down. You go down further. And there's sunshine coming in. You see the sunshine? You are below ground and there's sunshine in there. And it's light and it's beautiful. The air smells fresh. Now look around. You're finding something that you had forgotten there was. It's something that gave you joy when you were a child. Pick it up. See its color. It's got a color. It's got a shape. Look around. There's more. There are gifts. There are talents. There are things that you remember from your childhood that give you that warm feeling. Do you feel that warm feeling right in your heart? Feel it. It's beautiful. Now look around you and step further back up. Hold those precious things in your left arm. You need your right arm. Look around, you'll see more things. Remember your school years? Look at those things which you picked up, which you discovered. They are there. They are all there. They've got beautiful colors and beautiful shapes. Add them to what you've got already. Climb the next steps. Keep gathering. Keep gathering. You'll see things that you didn't even know were there, but you see them now. Keep gathering as much as you can. They'll all fit into your arms. Keep stepping up. You're reaching the ground level. You've got it all together now. You're an adult. You're at your age, which you are now. And some things have almost flown at you, not wanting to be forgotten. Now step back into that room on ground level. Sit down on your carpet. Hold your treasure. Press it against your chest and own it. It is yours. All of that God has given you. Now sit right in the middle of your rug. It's lifting off the floor. You're floating toward the window. Through the window. Out there. Up, up, further up. And you don't see the landscape anymore. You're up again in the clouds. You're above the clouds. And the light is getting brighter. And the sun is getting warmer. Again, you're floating into the presence of God. You were there once before. You returned free. Free from all you had given him. Now, you once again press all your precious forms and colors against your chest. And you know God's hands are there. Move toward him. Drop all your precious items into his hands. Give them to him right now. And remove your hands. Your rug won't move. You're still in his presence. God has accepted them, just as he earlier accepted all your sin and removed them and kept them. But now, you hold your hands open in front of you. Ask God to give back to you all that which he wants you to have. Hold it in your hands. It's a whole lot. It's a huge, huge mass of things. Thank him for it. It's familiar. You've had it in your arms before. Thank him for it. Now, press it against your chest. Hug it. Love it. Thank God again. Listen to that melody that wells up in you. There's a song that wells up in you. Hum it. Hum it. And your rug is moving you out of God's presence. But the light remains warm. Your rug is taking you through the heights. Above the clouds, into the clouds. The clouds are beautiful, and your treasure that you're holding makes them even shinier. Now your rug takes you below the clouds. They don't dim the sunshine. The sun is shining. And your rug comes down gently. And your rug comes through the window of Koinonia. Your rug gently lifts you back into your chair. You're back here. You can open your eyes. How do you feel? What happened to the dark things? What happened to the things you picked up in that muggy old cellar? Are they gone? Can anybody describe? What did it look like? What color did that dark bundle have? What shape did it have, or shapes?
Nothingness.
It was nothingness. Okay, somebody else.
Like sludge.
Like sludge. Kind of slimy, darkish, brownish, muddy.
Black, almost black.
Almost black. Somebody else, what did yours look like? Can you describe it? Did anybody have sharp triangular forms? Nobody? Or crystalline forms? What were the forms of your sin and of the negative, of the hurt?
Kind of like a box that's been smashed.
Like a smashed box.
No, crushed, buckled up.
What color?
Brown, black, red.
What kind of red?
Dark red.
Dark red. What were your colors?
Red clay.
Like red clay. In kind of a muddy red?
Mm-hmm. Sort of swirling like.
Swirling like. Anybody else like to share what you saw, what you felt? How did it hurt?
It was damp and cold.
It was damp and cold.
I had seaweed.
Seaweed.
And the effect was like it was going to get me, strangle me, kill me.
Very threatening.
Yeah.
But God took it. There's no more seaweed anywhere around. Now, this is your personal experience. There is no right or wrong. Just share it.
A shapeless blob of tar.
A shapeless
brown, black, gooey, changing, not in set form, sort of a free form.
Uh-huh. Yes, a changing form, but a blob and sticky maybe? Mm-hmm. Sticky, yes. Mm-hmm. Did anybody else have this sticky feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sin is sticky and hurt is sticky too, isn't it? Did anybody feel a piercing pain when you were embracing it?
Lonely, I think I had a feeling of loneliness.
Uh-huh. I know I felt a sharp piercing pain when I did it. It was like sharp pointed crystals that really hurt, and they had ishy colors, all sorts of muddy, dark browns and greens and almost black, very unpleasant colors. It was very unpleasant. I was so happy to get rid of them. Do you feel free of it all? It's gone, isn't it? And what were the colors of your good things, of your gifts, and of your joy?
Like a rainbow.
Like a rainbow. And the shape?
It was kind of like a cloud, like a real light cloud.
That's beautiful. Anybody else like to share what it was like? What it is like? It's you. It's yours now. You own it. Rainbow cloud forever. That's beautiful. Feels so light. You think if you had to climb a mountain, you could just about jump it up. You wouldn't feel any weight anymore.
Hey.
Uh-huh. Like a mountain goat.
Right.
Yes. That's a beautiful feeling. Anybody else experience something like it?
Well, Mrs. Conrad, I think I should tell you, just explaining why you're not getting the feedback from me that you would hope for. I didn't realize, I had very hard of hearing, and I didn't realize how much I depended on lips to watch people. And also, this was a mistake for me to shut my eyes, but I made the most of it, my dear. I could get enough. I knew what you were doing. And all I could think of was that beautiful verse, if I take the wings of the morning, mm-hmm. or if I descend in the depth of hell, lo, he is with me always. So I was kind of following that idea in my own little visualization. I'm just very sorry that I missed out on some of the detail of your instruction. But now I'm from the feedback I'm getting, I can appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. That was my fault, because I love that idea of just this total relaxation. And I don't think you can accomplish that total relaxation if your eyes are open and you're taking in all the distractions.
Yes, it's very distracting.
So
you cannot do it.
Beautiful. But, of course, I did lose a great deal. But I still gained from the experience, and I thank you for it. Because that business of if I take the wings of the morning simply came to me. I didn't invent it.
Well, that
so that was the way
that
I appreciated your exercise.
I think that God gave you his own word, which reassured you. He gave you a journey of your own. Is there anything that anybody would like to add that you've gained, or that you've recognized, that comes out of our sessions as a hope, as a determination, as a desire, as whatever?
I think going back down the mountain, it leaves me with the thought of many new possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for that.
New freedom that God is giving you. Thank you for sharing that. Well, I guess if nobody has anything to add, I just want to thank you for being with me. And as I always say in plain English, shalom.